so our next speaker, I actually started CODA before the last 6 years, the first time, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And Mick was in that meeting, and I was impressed with his sincerity. And I wish I would have stayed in that meeting, but I kind of thought I had learned it, and okay, I'm good. And so I took about a decade off and made a few more mistakes, but Mick stayed in the meeting and has been steadfast, as far as I can tell, in living the CODA ideals and doing the hard work required to be happy and to be true to yourself. So I am so thrilled to have Mick here tonight, and I take great pleasure in introducing you all to someone whose work and life I truly admire. Please welcome Mick Epps.
Well, I've worn the wrong shirt for this microphone. I just recently started wearing turtlenecks. The girlfriend, she thought they might be good, and I'm all right with them, but is that going to work? Sound guys, is that going to work? Okay. All right. Oh, geez. I'm Mick. I'm codependent. And I had a lot of denial about that for a long time. I thought I was kind of sailing along, you know, pretty darn well. And I had a friend one time, a good friend, who after we'd had coffee or something, I got in the car. I'm driving her somewhere. She was a speaker that I was helping, help her with her getting set up in the speak situations. And she looked over at me, and she just asked me kind of point blank, very gently. She said, "Mick, are either of your parents alcoholics?" And I was surprised at that question. And initially, my feeling was that I needed to defend my parents somehow. I needed to say, "Well, yeah, but you know, they're very high functioning, you know." But that question stayed with me. And when I got home, my wife had been in some therapy, and she left a book out, and the book was called something about challenges of intimacy, struggles of intimacy, or something like that. That was just left around. And I read it. I picked it up. I never would have picked that thing up, you know, if I hadn't had that conversation earlier in the day. I would not have read that thing. I wouldn't have been drawn to it. But because of that, I was drawn to it, and I opened it up, and I had that experience of like, oh my God, you know, like my denial's over here, but then my common sense is over here going, hey, doesn't this sound familiar? Doesn't this sound familiar? Isn't this all this stuff talking about? Isn't this you? And the fact was, I don't think I was ready at that point, you know, really to accept what my condition was. Honestly, I kind of was doing too well in that way of thinking everything was okay. I still had, my world was still, I was still creating it well enough that I thought I was, you know, just everything was fine. So shortly after that, at some point, I don't know the exact chronology of this thing, but this job that I had, it wasn't a job, it was my volunteer job that I was really, really, really attached to, was gotten rid of. It was dissolved, and I went into a really, really deep depression. About, you know, I mean, like for a week, 2 weeks, something like that, and like I couldn't get out of it. And I had to look. I mean, isn't pain fantastic? You know, I mean, it's horrible, but it's fantastic stuff because it's the only thing that can wake me up. And it was strong enough to where, okay. And then I was on some kind of a trip down to Miami, and the guy who was in the room with me, we're sharing a room, we both didn't manage to get the decaffeinated coffee at dinner. So we had a lot of energy when we got back to the room that evening, and we weren't really interested in sleeping, so we talked most of the night. And at one point, this gentleman that I was with was practicing 12-step in a different program. And at one point, because I had those few thoughts about maybe I wasn't quite the way I thought I was, so, you know, I wasn't quite as confident and all the bullshit that I was believing about myself. And I said to him, I said, do you think there's a possibility? I mean, I've started to get this idea that, you know, I think I might be codependent. And he looked at me with a twinkle in his eye and with the gentlest response that you could possibly imagine. And he says, Mick, I think you got something there. So it was very, very gentle. And so I got a therapist first and started working in the therapy. And I was reading one of the books, Struggle for Intimacy. That was the first book. What was this one? This was something else about Healing Your Aloneness. I read that book, and this is, again, good information for me. A lot of inner child information about, you know, hey, you gotta listen inside. You know, there's something going on inside you need to listen to. And so I was just starting to write with my left, my non-main hand, you know, when I was journaling, so I could let that other part of myself start to speak to me. And then at a certain point, it got to the end of the book, and the last page it said, you know, this work that you're doing is not easy. It's really, really, really important for you to find yourself a peer group that you can get the help from. It's not going to happen probably without that. And so I looked, you know, I looked up and I saw the Tuesday night Sojourners meeting, you know, out there at the Unity Church, and I just decided to go. And the person I was with at the time wasn't thinking that was a very good idea for me, and I was kind of getting yelled at the whole time I was going out to the car. And you know, and we got to the meeting, I wasn't listening, and I was really, really afraid of my wife, very terrified of her. But I had a feeling that I really needed to get to that meeting. And when I walked in there, it was upstairs at the church, the upstairs room at the church. I remember walking into that room. Oh my God. You know, I mean, you guys, maybe, I don't know if you guys can, you probably might have had some similar moment feeling, but I just felt like I was at home. I felt like I had just walked into home. I felt like I just needed to be in that room. And when I started to hear people share, there was that thing that happened to me that I've noticed ever since that I always loved so much, is there at one point when I get to a meeting, there's sort of like this energy that's like a frequency on a radio or something like that. It's like them going by frequencies, and then there's this one frequency. When I get to that frequency, I feel content. I feel safe. I feel like something good is going to happen. And I'm just because I'm in that condition, it's like, oh, this is why I come to meetings. I really, really need to feel this. I need to feel this contentment and this safety. And anybody can say anything they need to say. Whatever actually is the truth. You know, fancy that. Oh, imagine that. It's okay just to speak the truth. And then I get a chance to practice. Okay, have I just destroyed the sound there? Are you guys still okay? All right. So and then in those meetings I got to practice. I got my 4 minutes. To practice, to just say what actually was true with my experience, with what was happening to me. What actually happened this week? What actually happened today? What is it that I'm really, truly thinking and feeling? That's a big thing. Big, big thing, because I didn't really have an operating compass. And trying to operate without a compass is, you know, a problem, because I ended up going in a lot of directions that I didn't really want to be in. I couldn't choose the people I really wanted to spend time with. That's one of the biggest things for me in this program, to be able to actually have a compass enough to know somebody that is really a good person for me to be with. And when I started to have that capability by itself changed my life. Because all of a sudden, I'm with people that love me. I'm with people that care about me. I'm with people that really, really want to be with me and are drawn to me for real reasons. And I don't have to continue to pretend to be something that I'm not, you know, try to figure it out, what everybody really wants from me. And then I'm good at that. I think codependence can be excellent at that. And I'm fantastically good at it. And the problem is, then when I would start to be that person that the other person wanted me to be, then I would just lose power. I would just start to feel so, so sad. And that weight is the thing, you know, that Ray was talking about. You know, once that weight is like removed, I mean, you know, it's tangible difference. You can feel the difference. Like, why would I ever want to go back to the weight if I can feel this freedom? There's just no common sense person would make that decision, I don't think, in my opinion. We want that freedom. We want that energy. We want to feel. We want to feel good. I was raised Catholic, so, you know, I had a horrific version of higher power. I mean, really, I mean, I was the kid that took it hook, line, and sinker back when, you know, Sister Stanislaus and Father Hurley were doling out big, big stories of, you know, brimstone and damnation. And I believed it. You know, I'd do something that I thought was the sin, and I was terrified that I might die before I got to confession. I believed it. I believed it hook, line, and sinker. So when the point finally came, when I was a teenager, I walked up to my mom in the den, and I said, "Mom, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God?" And she's like looking at me for a little while, and then she just said, "No, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure." That moment was one of the biggest moments of my life, because it allowed me to begin to let go of that idea of what I thought God was. Because if I hadn't have done that, then some years later when I got into this program, and it still was, I was still having the old Catholic reaction. People would use the word God, and I would flinch, you know. I had the fellow that Ray was talking about, you know, at one point we started to do step studies. Well, I was standing in that parking lot out in Beaverton when a couple of the guys, you know, were going, "Hey, man, who's going to sponsor us? There's not enough sponsors." So it's, "Well, why don't we sponsor each other? Let's see what happens with that." And I'd heard them having that conversation. Hey, if you guys are going to do that, I want to get in on it too. Let's work the steps together. And then that little crowd got together. We did the best we could, you know. We got together and just met once a week, or every 2 weeks, I think it was. And we started to really learn what was going on in this program. What did it mean to work this program? What did it mean to, you know when something was unmanageable? What did it mean to really believe that there was a power greater than myself that could, you know, give me back my sanity? And what did it mean to really let go of that, because there was a power greater than me that was really there and that was really going to take care of it for me? And maybe that meant showing me what I needed to do, but it would give me clarity somehow. That was fantastic, to be able and then to have that higher power's door open. The fellow that we're standing talking to with, he says, "Well," and he came up to me one time and says, "Look, if you keep, you know, having that reaction to the word God, you know, it's probably not helping you. So why don't you just decide what your God is going to be? Who do you want your God to be? Just make it your God. Don't think about any previous idea." And so, okay, then I thought, all right, well, I know what that is now. I know, because I have a practice. I feel that incredible peace inside when I do this practice, this internal practice. I feel that contentment. I feel that clarity. I get these insights from inside. I know that higher power is with me. And so when I could finally take that practice and put it together with this 12-step program, then my days could be different. They could be different. It's like when the unmanageable thing comes, oh, that's unmanageable. That's too big for me. That thing is overwhelming me. I don't know what to do about that. At that moment, to have the trust that there's going to be something that's going to give me clarity, that it will work out. Oh my God, what could be bigger than that? Jeez, for me, I don't think there's anything bigger, because that makes every single one of my days great. It really does. Because as soon as the hard thing comes, I can go, okay, I need help. And that help might come from another person. That help might come from just inside me. But the help always comes for me. Always comes. I swear to God, it's always there. And I know I'm not anything special or different. I know. I just feel that any human being that's going to turn to that power that's greater, whatever the version of their version of it is, because that thing is real, it's going to find its way to deliver the help. there was a young gal that was coming to that meeting Tuesday nights, and she was having trouble with higher power. And somebody said, well, why don't you just pretend, you know, for just a day or something, that there is a higher power, and just like pray to it or something and see what happens. So there were these two things that she was having trouble with in her life, and I don't remember exactly what they were. One was related to her car, and the other thing was related, I think, to her apartment. And so she reported the next week, and to me she said, well, I tried it, and this is what happened. There were two things that I could not get resolved at all. I mean, for a really long time, like for a year and a half. And I just prayed to higher power, okay, if you're really there, I don't think you're really there, honestly, but if you are really there, would you take care of these two things for me? And those two things, of course, got taken care of. And her initial reaction wasn't, oh my God, there's something there. It was, oh shit, there's something there. And I thought that was interesting. You know, I was like, no, I don't want anything that powerful to be existing. That's too scary, you know. And in my old Catholic version, it would have been too scary. But in my new version, that this, for me, the great power is this peaceful, powerful, wonderful thing that's for me, trying to help me if I'll just open myself up to it, then that makes a difference. It's a whole different story. And so when I come in a meeting and I feel the safety and I know anything can be said and I listen for my higher power to talk to me through the voices of the other people in the meeting, you know, how many times has that happened? It's happened hundreds of times for me. The last person that I expect in the room is going to say something that's exactly what I needed to hear in exactly the moment that I needed to hear it. That's the amazing. That's one of the amazing things, isn't it? In this program, it's like, whoa. And I don't even intellectually always remember why I should be in a meeting, but when I get to the meeting, I can feel why I'm there, because that's the feeling that I long for. That's the feeling that I adore, because it's the feeling of my needs getting met. You know, my needs getting met. I can actually see what they are, and I can choose which way to get them. I can. There'll be a choice of different options for me to get whatever need met that's coming up that I can feel. And I don't have to take the first one. I can take the one that is the best, that no one else gets hurt, and then I've just, you know, I can move in my life. I don't want to go too long, but the thing of strength and hope is this thing of having a compass to me is a huge strength. Once that compass gets stronger and stronger, and the higher power is there, and the compass is there, and the work in these steps is there, then, you know, there's something that happens. And the thing that's happened for me is my life has changed a lot. And most recent thing that's happened is I've been playing with a band for a while, and I really enjoy that. It's just something that I've always wanted to do. And then once I realized I could do what I wanted to do, once that was okay to do what I wanted to do, it wasn't like selfish to do what I wanted to do, it was all right. You know, I'd be a better person if I do what I wanted to do, if I wasn't hurting anybody. And so little bit by little bit over the last 10 years, one of the guys in the program invited me to, you know, play in this one situation, and that went well. And then little bit, tiny by tiny little bit, it became okay for me not only just to be direct and straight and honest in a meeting, which is incredible, but to practice that again and again and again so I can be direct, straight, and honest in public. And it's an amazing thing. It's a powerful, wonderful thing. And suddenly, all of a sudden, after a certain amount of time, I'm, you know, on a stage singing the song that I wrote with a whole backup band about something very personal to me. And now, more recently, there's a person that met me that goes, oh, you know, that I think that's real. That sounds great, and I'd like to promote you. I'd like to get you a whole bunch of shows and all that. I think you're doing great stuff. There's a part of me inside of me that, you know, again, where's the balance? Now, is my resolution in life to become good, really like famous or something? No. How many famous people are like totally trashed and dead and committed suicide? That doesn't do anything for me. And I'm not interested in running my life. I know where I'm safe. I know where I can come back day after day, is I can come back to the meeting. I can come back to my inner life. I can come back to the honesty of what I really am feeling and thinking. It's okay to say it out loud. And it's okay even to perform it out loud with music. That's okay. as long as, you know, I'm doing it for the right reason. It's coming from the right place. It's me. If it's really me, if it's just me being me, then that's fine. And this lady was saying she's been doing this stuff for a long time. I said, look, I'm just afraid that I don't want to lose myself. And she said, look, you won't be successful unless you are yourself. That's the only way you're going to have any success with this, is if you are yourself. I thought, oh, well, okay. Then that's possible. But I know that the only thing that I really, really, really want is just to continue to have this day-to-day experience, like Ray was talking about, of having plenty of energy for everything that's needed. Because I'm not letting it go to the places where it used to go. Right now, my girlfriend's having some really serious issues, and it's perfect practice for me, because then I can look and I can go, okay, well, do I have the power to make her happy? Whew. You know, I mean, I grew up taught that I had the power to make my mother happy. I was trained that I had the power to make my mother happy. That's a really, 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 really rough thing to believe, because there's so much responsibility if that was true. And it took me a long time to be able to let that go. And the marriage that didn't work was classic. The reason it was happening was because I thought that person, I was saving that person. That's the thing. Once it finally broke up, when I really had a deep feeling of loss, it was shocking to me and scary and a little bit not so flattering, that the thing that I missed more than anything in the relationship was that I was better than somebody, that I could be better than somebody every single day, that made me okay. If I was better, I was okay. And that really, really, really hurt me in my life, because if I was better than people, I couldn't connect with anybody. That's narcissist. That's the guy staring into the mirror at himself and just dies of loneliness. That was me. I mean, I could tell myself a lot of things. I could try to be successful and look good and keep everything on the outside just fine, I thought. But what it was really happening is, I don't think anybody was fooled. I was the only one that was fooled. But by me trying to be better than anybody was me distancing myself from who I wanted to be close to. Now that I start to feel that I can really connect with people, it's only in this way that I practiced in the meetings, of just being myself, and then it's share, check, share, isn't it? It's like I be myself, and then the person that's with me accepts me or they don't. And if they do, it's amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful. I'm really connecting with the person. I'm loving that person's company. If I don't, then I don't have to hate that person or criticize them or have any idea about anything about them, anything negative. They can just go be where they want to be, who they want to be with, and I can be who I want to be with. And I can, those people that care about me, I can be here with them. So anyway, I know I'm just, this is such a gorgeous choir to preach to. Because I know you guys understand, and that's what's made this thing so wonderful for me. You know, I've just got my 14 years here last week. Thank you. And I haven't gotten either of the meetings to get the chip yet, but I will all do that soon. but I guess all I have really to say at the end is I'm just very, very grateful to be here and to be with you guys and to be with this program. And that if I hadn't have found this program, I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. I mean, I don't think, someone was talking about, they were saying, oh, geez, why didn't you do this earlier? You know, the stuff with the music and the band or writing the songs. And it was so clear to me. And I just looked at these guys. I go, you know what? I wasn't emotionally ready. I was not emotionally ready. I would not have been able to do it without hurting myself or hurting other people. It wouldn't have happened. Or it would have happened in that way that, you know, we know a lot of stories about that can happen with people. When they aren't healthy, when they're not connected to themselves, when they don't have compassion and empathy and kindness to their own self. And so I'm grateful to be invited here tonight. Thank you very much, Greg, for this invitation and for the Coda people. You know, you guys are, you know, this really truly is my family. At one point that I wasn't really communicating a lot with my mom and dad at one point because I needed to heal a little bit before I could have those communications again, and it worked out great and we got back in touch and it was fine. But I really, really, really needed to do things a different way. And this is where I've learned how to do things a different way. And the different way that I've learned has been fantastic. And so I just encourage anybody that if you're just here for the first couple of times or something, give it a chance, because all it's going to do is just take you back to yourself. No one else is going to be big for you, really. You're going to be big for yourself. You're going to be your own angel. You're going to be the one that saves yourself. And that's powerful, and that's what we need. It's exactly what we need. It was so encouraging. I have goosebumps right now looking at the pictures of the 100,000 people that walked in Portland yesterday, and not because whatever political thing, but just because people just got up and were wanting to be happy and gentle and support the right stuff in themselves. I mean, it's okay for us to speak up. And I see part of myself when that lady was saying, well, look, I really want to promote you, and you're going to get, your music is going to get hurt a lot. One of the first feelings I had was fear. Because like, oh my God, in this political climate, you know, I mean, if it's something I say, someone's going to be really upset about it. Maybe I'm going to get hurt. And I don't want to be a martyr or anything, but I just feel like the CODA program has made me stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And now I'm at a place of strength that if something that I've written or something that I'm performing can be inspiring to someone who's trying to stay connected to themselves, who's trying to be true to themselves, who's trying to be true to their family, to their brothers and sisters, to the people around them, regardless of what they might look like or talk like or anything like that, that humanity can be like witnessed inside each other. That's what we're practicing in the CODA meeting, isn't it? We're practicing recognizing our humanity inside of each other. And we all look different. We all have so many things that are different about each one of us. But we know there's something in there that we want to connect to because it's beautiful, because it is that essence. It's that power of life. And we're all connected to that. And oh my God, I'm starting to feel like a unity preacher or something. a Unitarian preacher. Anyway, that's all I got. You guys, love you guys. Thank you for listening to me and letting me. I hadn't been to a meeting in a couple weeks, and I really needed this meeting bad. Thank you very much. Thank you.